The time had come for Jesus to claim his title as the Messiah, the Savior, the one that God had promised to the Jewish people. Jesus knew his mission and was almost finished. He would now go into the holy city of Jerusalem for Passover. As he and the disciples traveled to Jerusalem, Jesus warned them that he would soon be put to death. He then went on to tell them that after 3 days, he would rise again. The city of Jerusalem was crowded with thousands of pilgrims who had come for the annual Passover celebration. Many of those who had come to the city had already heard of Jesus and of his miracles. Little did they know that he would soon be moving among them there in Jerusalem. As Jesus and his disciples approached the city, news of his arrival began to be made known. Word spread quickly, and a multitude of people gathered and laid their garments on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and laid them in his path. Many cried out their praises for him. Many people had heard of Jesus, and they had also heard stories of the men who had left their work to follow him. They were his followers, but they were also his friends, as well as the keepers of the stories of his ministry. During Jesus' time of ministry, this band of men had spent many months traveling throughout the towns and villages of Palestine. He preached about the kingdom of God wherever he went. He sought out the broken, the wounded, and the outcast. He sought out the dying, and he offered hope and the promise of eternal life to anyone who would listen and believe. He often performed miracles. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, and raised the dead back to life. His healings went far beyond what anyone had ever seen or experienced. His week in Jerusalem would be no different. Shortly after his arrival into the city, Jesus made his way into the temple. It was crowded with people buying and selling their wares on the steps of this holy place. This had been a tradition for many years, and it was acceptable to most. But when he saw what was taking place, he became angry, and he quickly approached all who had gathered. Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers and merchants, and he drove them out.
Stop! Get out! I said stop it! Get out! It is written that my house shall be a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of robbers.
Those in charge were angry and threatened by him. And yet Jesus continued to go to the temple every day. He drew large crowds through his teachings. Blind people, crippled people, and sick people came to him, and he healed all of them. He told stories and parables to help people understand the kingdom of God and God's love for all people. And even though he had been welcomed into the city, there were those who questioned him, and he began to be tested. He was even confronted by an expert of the Jewish law. He asked Jesus which of God's commandments was most important. Jesus replied,
"Love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the teachings and all the scriptures that are written by the prophets are based on these two.
Many people responded to his teachings in a positive and wonderful and embracing way. And yet there were others who were very displeased that Jesus was preaching at the temple every day. The chief priests and the elders of the temple grew more and more angry and more upset. The chief priests had given permission for merchants and money changers to use the outer courtyard of the temple. However, Jesus had driven them out. They were afraid of a reaction by the Roman authorities because of the large crowds who followed Jesus. Yet worst of all for them, the people were putting their hopes and their trust in Jesus. The temple officials felt that Jesus had challenged their authority, and they felt it slipping away. These temple officials realized that they needed to come up with a plan, some way to trap Jesus with his own words. And so they came to him with a demand.
"Sire, to whom do you, what authority do you do these things? And to what authority do you speak?"
Jesus knew this was a trap. If Jesus claimed his authority was from God, they would accuse him of blasphemy. Instead, he told them that he would answer their question if they would first answer a question from him.
"The baptism of John, is that from heaven or is that from man?"
The temple officials realized this question was also a trap. If they said yes, Jesus would say, "Then why didn't you believe him?" If they said no, it would make the people angry because they believed John the Baptist was a prophet. So the temple officials refused to answer. Jesus had defeated his opponents once more, but he had also embarrassed them once again. Now the temple officials were even angrier, and they began seeking a path to end any further loss of control or any further embarrassment for them. They had no choice but to plot to discredit him and to have him killed. Because of the events following the arrival of Jesus and his disciples into Jerusalem, there was a great unrest. Even from one who was closest to Jesus. Confusion, anger, loss of control began to serve as motivation for man. The fear of the unknown and greed served to motivate others.
"Gentlemen, this Jesus is rallying the people against us. We must get rid of him. And the solution must be permanent. Now we must find the perfect place and time, someplace away from his adoring public. And so, to that end, I offer the services of this man." Come, you. Come closer. May I introduce Judas Iscariot? Now, he has agreed, for a price, to turn his master over to us tomorrow evening in some out-of-the-way place.
Sir, I...
And if all goes according to plan, and with a little help from Pontius Pilate, we will have this Jesus tried, convicted, and executed before the Sabbath begins.
What will you give me if I betray him to you?
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment on, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. During this time, Jesus was dealing with so much, and so were his disciples. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked,
"Rabbi, where would you like us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
"Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my time is near, and I will keep the Passover at his house with my disciples.'"
And so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and the Passover meal began to be prepared. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. After they had gathered, he spoke to them.
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me."
And each one became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after the other,
"Surely not I, Lord."
"Could you mean me?"
"Lord,
could you mean me?"
Is it me, Lord?"
"Not me, Lord."
And the others followed likewise, each one after the other, questioning Jesus, asking him if he was referring to them. And then he answered,
"The one who has dipped his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him not to have been born."
"Rabbi, do you mean me?"
"You have said so." "I tell you this, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom."
Thank you.
Following the meal, the men left in silence. Jesus had asked three to stay behind. He took the three disciples and he went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them,
"Stay here with me while I go over there and pray."
He had taken with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. After a while, he began to be incredibly grieved and agitated. Then Jesus said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Stay awake with me. Stay here. My Father, if it is all possible, let this cup pass from me. Not what I want, but what you want."
Then he came back to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to them,
"You could not stay awake with me for 1 hour. Stay awake. Pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak."
And again he went away from them for a second time, and he continued to pray.
"Father, if this cup cannot pass unless I drink from it, your will be done."
Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. This time he said to them,
"You could not stay awake. You are still sleeping and taking your rest. Stay awake. The hour is at hand. Get up, get up. Wait, you must be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
At that moment, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. He was not alone. The betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." And at once, Judas came to Jesus and he said,
"Greetings, Rabbi."
"Friend, do what you must do quickly." "Do you not think I can appeal to my Father and he will at once send 12 legions of angels to save me? But then, how would the scriptures of the prophets be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way? You've come with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit. Day after day, I sat in that temple teaching and you did not arrest me. But all of this has happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled."
They took Jesus away. And those who had seen to the arrest took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. The chief priest held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate.
"This had better be important to have awakened me in the middle of the night."
"Pontius Pilate, Your Excellency, we are very grateful for your audience, sir." "Guards!" "Here is our problem."
"And what are the charges you are bringing against this man?"
"Well, he's a criminal. If he was not, we would not be handing him over to you.
Then take him yourselves and judge him by your own law.
May I respectfully remind your excellency that we have no right to execute anyone.
So, you are the prophet from Nazareth, aren't you? You know, I've heard some things about you. My wife even saw you in her nightmares. So I ask, just who are you? Are you the king of the Jews?
Are those your words? What others have told you about me?
What? You think I am a Jew? It is your people and your priests who have handed you over to me. Have you no answer? You see how many charges they bring against you? What is it you are supposed to have done?
My kingdom is not of this world. No, my kingdom is from another place.
So you are a king.
You are correct in saying that I am a king. It's for this reason that I was born, for this reason that I was brought into this world, to testify to the truth.
What is truth?
But Jesus made no other reply. Pilate stood before Jesus, puzzled and amazed. As it was custom each year during the time of Passover, a prisoner was released for the Jews, anyone for whom they asked.
Do you wish for me to release to you this king of the Jews? Silence! Silence! You take him. I find no basis for a charge against him.
But we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claims to be the Son of God.
But I have found no fault with this man. What do you wish for me to do with this man you call the King of the Jews? Why? What evil has this man done? Silence! Silence! Do you hear what they are saying? Where do you come from? Speak to me! Don't you know who I am? I have the freedom to free you or to crucify you. Take him away. I am innocent of this man's blood. Let him be crucified.
Jesus was immediately taken away, and Pilate released Barabbas for those who had cried out for him. After beating and torturing Jesus, he was handed over to be crucified. The soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace. They had thrown a purple cloak over him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him and mocking him. They struck his head with a reed. They spat upon him. They knelt down in homage to him, and after mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, and they put his own clothes on him. They paraded him through the streets, making him carry the cross on which he was to be crucified. And then they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, and they nailed him to a cross. Jesus hung there. He was crucified. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. An inscription was hung above the cross, right above his head, and on it was written the charge against him. It read, "The King of the Jews." In agony and racked with pain, Jesus called out,
"My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
As he hung there and continued to be tortured more and more, and mocked by many of those who had gathered to witness the crucifixion, he gave out a loud cry. He had breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Then there was silence when the centurion and those who had kept watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what had taken place. They were terrified. The centurion, who was one who had witnessed it all, stepped up, looked at Jesus, and said,
"Truly, this man is the Son of God."